The MGM Theater of the Air, starring this week, Ralph Bellamy with Arlene Francis. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and famous writer of many Broadway and Hollywood hits, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Anybody familiar with newspapermen knows that reporters occasionally pad their expense accounts. Right now, Jeff Sherman, just back from covering a story, is explaining to his boss.
But, J.J., I had to put up that $500 for Mamie. She was being brutally mistreated.
Oh, she was she? And just how was she being brutally mistreated?
I just told you. She was being slapped on the stomach with a wet fish.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, begins a full hour of love, larceny, and litigation about a certain gentleman of the press who isn't always a gentleman. In one moment, we'll be into MGM's wacky romance, Designed for Scandal, starring Ralph Bellamy with Arlene Francis. Curtain rises on Act One of Designed for Scandal. Jeff Sherman, a reporter with a reputation, played by Ralph Bellamy, is walking down the corridor leading to the offices of the Globe News Syndicate. Jeff is thinking fondly of his boss, a middle-aged millionaire who realizes that he made a big mistake when he married a bubble dancer.
Dear old J.J., they don't come any better. Yep, J.J.'s only trouble is that he was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
And in his office, J.J. Blair also is thinking about Jeff. And J.J. also is emotional. In fact, he is dictating a letter to Jeff.
And you have proved to me once again that you look upon a legitimate expense account merely as a license to steal.
Is that all, Mr. Blair?
Oh, no, there's more, plenty more.
Mr. Blair, the doctor, your blood pressure...
I am aware that your story on the discovery of the Arctic uranium field was a scoop. Nevertheless, unless you can explain your fantastic expense account to my complete satisfaction... Underline complete satisfaction.
Yes, Mr. Blair.
You may consider your employment by the Globe News Syndicate at an end. Exclamation point, that's all.
Yes, sir. Shall I add the P.S.?
Shall you add the what?
Well, usually you say P.S. and good riddance to bad rubbish.
Confound it, Miss Stevens. You're like every other woman where Jeff Sherman's concerned.
Now, please, Mr. Blair, I was thinking only of you.
You're thinking only of me?
Well, yes. I mean, every time you fire him, he manages to out-talk you and...
Not this time.
And after it's all over, he's got a higher salary and you've got a higher blood pressure.
Not this time, never.
And after all, he is a great reporter.
Of course he is. Also, he's a... Jeff Sherman's an unscrupulous, unmoral, unprincipled, low-lying, double-dealing, deceitful...
J.J., I'm back.
You!
Welcome home, Mr. Sherman.
Hiya, Thelma.
Now, you listen to me, Jeff Sherman. I'm...
Let me guess, J.J., I'm fired again, right?
Wrong. This time you're not fired again. This time you're fired, period.
You know, I almost think you mean it. What's wrong, J.J.? Never seen you quite like this.
Mr. Blair.
Well?
If Mrs. Blair should phone again or come in...
I'm in conference. I'm out of town.
Oh-ho.
Yes, sir.
Oh-ho. So you're having trouble with the lovely Fifi, right?
I've never had anything else.
I know it. You have trouble with Fifi, so you say to yourself, now who can I take this out on? And I walk in...
Stop it! My wife has nothing to do with this.
J.J., I'm hurt. I'm deeply hurt. You're a hard man, and everybody knows it. But up to now, you've always been fair. Now, just because you have trouble at home...
I tell you, Fifi has nothing to do with this.
But she has, J.J. You made a messy marriage, so you blame it on me.
You can't deny that you introduced her to me.
There, that proves it. But who begged me to take you to the cutie club that night? Who begged me to introduce you to Fifi?
You're trying to change the subject. You're trying?
You know in your heart who begged me, J.J. You did. But now you blame it on me. You were out for a fling and you blame me because you got flung.
I tell you, I...
And who told you not to marry Fifi? Search inside your heart, J.J. You know very well what I said to you. J.J., marrying a bubble dancer is strictly no soap. And not only that...
Now, Jeff, listen to me, please.
J.J., I really am. I've always looked up to you as a man who was hard but fair. Please, J.J., be honest with yourself. Look inside your heart and you'll admit that you're taking something out on me.
Well, Maybe I was in a bad mood. Fifi and I have had a few... Confound you, Jeff Sherman. How did we get on to Fifi? I want to talk about your lying, thieving expense account.
For heaven's sake, J.J., why didn't you say so? For a moment there, I thought you were mad at me.
You thought I was... If you can't explain every item in this expense account...
But I can. And as you always say in your letters, to your complete satisfaction.
We'll overlook such minor matters as one tube of toothpaste, $50.
Oh, but I want to explain it. You see, J.J., in the Arctic, everything has to be mushed in by dog sled. Hundreds of miles of snow. If you want a can of beans, you mush it in. If you want an aspirin, mush it in.
The whole thing sounds like a lot of mush.
Of course, if you're going to be frivolous about this...
Frivolous, you say? What about these items here? The ones where you put your girlfriend down as an expense. Frivolous, you say?
Wait, J.J., there must be some mistake.
Then listen, I'll read it. Now you listen. $500 for Mamie.
Oh, I can explain that, J.J., you see...
Please, let me finish. $100 cod liver oil for Mamie. Did she take a bath in it?
The doctor said she had to have it.
$200, doctor, for Mamie.
Yeah, that's the doctor that said it.
$500, tombstone for Mamie.
Poor Mamie, you would have loved her, J.J.
You're a liar, you're a cheat, and you're fired.
Now, J.J., I'm mad. Now you've got to apologize.
I've got to what?
You bet your life you have. I know when I'm in the right.
You get out of here.
I'll get out when I say what I've got to say. Mamie was not a girlfriend, as you put it.
I don't care if she was somebody's mother.
She was somebody's mother. She was an Eskimo sled dog, and she had six suckling pups. She was sick and hungry, and her owner was beating her because she couldn't work. I bought her, and I tried to save her life. I got her a doctor. I got medicine. When she passed on, I gave her a decent burial.
It's all a lie. A fantastic lie.
I was afraid you might say that, J.J. So before we buried Mamie, we skinned her. I've sent the skin to your apartment.
Go away somewhere, Jeff. Anywhere. Please, just leave me alone.
Very well. But I'll be waiting for your apology.
Mr. Blair, Mrs. Blair is here, and I can't make her understand that...
Fifi! Oh, no.
Mrs. Blair, please, I...
So there you are, you fiend.
Now, Fifi, please.
Hi, Fifi. Well, since I last saw you, you've become prematurely blonde.
Shut up, you...
Last time you were a jet brunette with a silver streak down the middle. Looked like you had a slight touch of zebra blood in you.
Don't speak to me, you loathsome crumb.
Briefly, it's me, remember? Remember when you used to dance at the cutie club, all dressed up from head to toe in a small bubble?
I remember you, Jeff Sherman. Now he's got you doing his dirty work for him.
He's got whom doing what dirty work for who? I mean, for whom has he got what... not the ashtray, please, not
Fifi, please, you're acting strange, confused.
Confused is right. Look, you're married to him, not to me.
I mean, you saw me in here and it's all Jeff.
Oh, I know you put him up to it. You hired him to do it.
I put him up to what? I mean... Fifi, not the water pitcher. Please, not... Darling, let me explain. You explain.
I'll explain, all right, J.J. But I'll do my explaining in court. Goodbye.
She must be ill, out of her mind. I don't understand it.
You mean she's never thrown things like this before?
Well, yes. This morning she threw the goldfish bowl at me. But that I understood. Now, look, Phoebe, please.
Relax, J.J. It's Thelma.
I'm sorry, Mr. Blair. I tried to stop her.
It's not your fault, Miss Stevens. She's headstrong.
Yeah, there's nothing weak about her throwing arm, either.
I simply can't understand it. This morning we kissed and made up.
For some reason, J.J., she seemed to think I mixed up in it. What was the fight about?
Well, at breakfast this morning, I noticed that she had on a diamond necklace, $35,000 worth. It was her third necklace this month, and she'd also bought two cars.
Holy smoke! She parlayed all that for one small bubble?
And I might have been a little rough taking the necklace off of her. That's when she threw the goldfish bowl.
Just say you kissed and made up.
Yes, I promised her a chinchilla coat, and that pacified her.
No, Mr. Blair, that's what made her angry.
What do you mean?
Well, she told me about it before she broke in here. She said when the chinchilla coat came, she opened the box...
But I haven't even bought the coat yet.
She said all she found was a mangy, smelly old dog skin.
She found a what?
Look, J.J., I just thought of a very important engagement down the street.
Get out!
Okay, J.J., I can take a hint.
If you ever come back here, I'll have your skin. Yes, and by thunder, I'll stuff it with your old expense accounts.
The evidence being in and the arguments completed, I will now give my decision. It is clear to the court that the plaintiff, Mrs. J.J. Blair, entered into a compact of marriage with the defendant, J.J. Blair, only after the said J.J. Blair had made many extravagant promises. I refer particularly to the defendant's letter of May 5th, admitted in evidence as Plaintiff's Exhibit 37B, and in which the defendant, J.J. Blair, signed himself as Super Bunny.
Confound it, that was the name she gave me, and I resent being made a fool of in this court.
Mr. Blair, the court has been extremely lenient of your outburst during this trial. The court's patience is now at an end.
But Miss Porter, I mean Judge Porter.
Silence! Since the defendant is a man of more than ample means, the plaintiff had a right to expect such luxuries as jewelry, clothing, motor cars, and furs. Indeed, as the evidence has shown, she received, instead, the desiccated skin of an aged sheepdog.
It was an Eskimo sled dog. Besides, I had nothing to do with it.
Mr. Blair, that will be $100 fine or 10 days in jail.
Why,
Do you wish to say something, Mr. Blair?
No.
To continue. It is the judgment of this court that the plaintiff, Mrs. J.J. Blair, be awarded a bill of divorcement and that alimony be set. The alimony is to be paid monthly, unless the plaintiff, Mrs. Blair, should remarry, in which case the alimony will cease. At the end of 5 years, if he so desires, the defendant may again approach this court and pray for a revision of alimony. Until the end of 5 years, however, alimony is set at $4,000 per month.
$4,000? I won't pay it. I'll die first.
Mr. Blair, that will be $200 fine or 20 days in jail.
By thunder, I won't pay that either.
300 or 30 days in jail.
This is what comes of letting a woman sit on the bench.
400 or 40 days. And I warn you, Mr. Blair, the court is prepared to sit here all day, and to employ a term used in the game commonly known as poker, the court will call all your bets and raise you back. Yes, Mr. Blair?
For the moment, I pass.
I heard about it on the radio, Mr. Blair. They made it a flash.
Oh, sure. Probably put it right in the middle of People Are Funny.
That Judge Cornelia Porter must be a horrid person.
She won't get away with it, Miss Stevens, not if it takes every cent I've got. Oh, she felt her power sitting up there on the bench in that black robe.
I wonder what such a woman could be like.
By thunder, she'll find out that J.J. Blair's got some power in this town, too.
I mean, what she's really like underneath.
I won't stop until I've stripped that robe off of her.
Mr. Blair.
I'm going in my office, Miss Stevens. I've got a headache, and I don't want to be disturbed by anybody.
Mr. Blair, Mr. Sherman came in, and I tried to tell him...
If he comes in here again, have him arrested. Now, I don't want to be disturbed.
But, Mr. Blair, he's...
Not by anybody, do you understand? And another thing, Miss Stevens, you are never to mention Jeff Sherman's name to me again. 440 days, eh? 4,000 a month, eh? Well, I'll fix you, Your Honor, and right now.
Well, well, if it isn't Super Bunny.
If you! Now listen, Jeff Sherman, you get out of this office and you take your feet off my desk.
Okay, J.J., what shall I do first?
Why I don't murder you right now, I don't know.
I know, J.J., and I can tell you.
Oh, no. Murder would be too good for you. I ought to snatch off one of your arms and beat you to death with it.
Yeah. Present for you.
Well, what's this?
Peace offering. On my way here from the courthouse, I bought you a bunch of carrots.
Why, you...
Now, wait. Seriously, I came here to help you.
Any more of your kind of help and I'll be in jail for life.
I mean it, J.J. I've studied your problem and I know how you can get that verdict reversed. The only way you can get it reversed.
Yes, and so do I, and with no help from you. I know Ferdy Graham like I know my own brother.
Yes, Mr. Blair.
Get me Chief Justice Graham of the Superior Court.
Right away.
Of all the things you could pick, J.J., you've started with the worst one.
I'll be the best judge of that, and I'll show you that I don't need your help.
Can't go to another court, you know. Got to go back to the same court, same judge.
My lawyers told me that.
Look, J.J., before it's too late, you know very well that we've never been in a jam that I didn't have to get you out of.
You don't work for me anymore, Mr. Sherman. Remember?
Judge Graham, Mr. Blair.
Hello, J.J.
Well, well, Ferdy, you old horse thief. How are you?
Never felt better, J.J. I hear you had a little trouble in one of my courts today.
A little trouble? Ha, ha, ha. You always were the world's greatest kidder, Ferdy. I always say there's nobody like good old Ferdy. No, sir.
Yes, something on your mind, J.J.?
Well, yes, Ferdy, yes, there is. Now, you and I have been good pals for years, real buddies. I want you to do me a little favor.
Yes?
I wonder if you could transfer, just as a personal favor to an old pal, I wonder if you could transfer Judge Porter to another court. Eh, Ferdy?
No.
Ferdy, we must have a bad connection. Sounded almost like you said no.
I'm well aware, J.J., that you were largely responsible for my appointment as Chief Justice. And I did say no.
Yeah, but Ferdy, old pal...
Now, let me tell you something. Cornelia Porter is one of the best jurists on the bench today. There has never been the slightest breath of graft or scandal connected with her court. Until there is, which I doubt... She will stay on the bench.
But, Ferdy, couldn't you transfer her for just a little while?
Now, J.J., I'm going to forget that you made this call this time. But if you ever again try to tamper with a court and obstruct justice, I'll put you behind bars. Goodbye, Super Bunny.
I don't like the point, J.J., but you've turned slightly green.
He refused me.
If you'd look at the facts first, J.J., you wouldn't have had to fire and fall back.
Facts?
Such facts as these, for instance. Justice Cornelia Porter has known your old pal, Ferdy Graham, since she was 2 years old. He loaned her the money to go through college and law school. After she graduated, Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude, by the way, she worked as a law clerk in Ferdy Graham's office. On the unanimous recommendation of the Bar Association and the Citizens Union, he appointed her to the bench. Those are the minor items.
What do you mean, minor items?
J.J., as a good reporter, I blush that you should ask such a thing. You see, Cornelia Porter happens to be the orphan child of Ferdy Graham's only sister, and Ferdy brought up Cornelia as his own daughter. Well, J.J., see you around.
Now, wait a minute, Jeff. Just a minute, please.
Yes?
Maybe we ought to talk things over.
Sorry, J.J., got to see a man about a job.
Well, I thought maybe that's what we might talk about. I mean, it's true that there have been a few occasions in the past when you got me out of certain jams.
Yes?
A moment ago you mentioned that you knew the way, the only way, to take care of this Judge Porter.
I believe I did mention it, yes.
Well, confound it, Jeff. Can you or can't you get rid of her? I mean, a man judge wouldn't do this to me, not if he knew which side his politics is buttered on. Please, Jeff, I'm serious.
All right, J.J., I'll be serious, too. As your dear old friend Ferdy Graham probably told you, a judge can only be removed for cause.
Well, he mentioned that there had never been a breath of graft or scandal, but...
There's your clue, J.J. Scandal.
Oh, no, Jeff, you don't know Judge Porter.
No?
Oh, no, the closest she ever got to a man was a writ of mandamus.
Is she a woman or isn't she?
I guess she is a woman, but you'd probably have to go through a lot of legal technicalities to prove it.
J.J., in 6 weeks I can have your Judge Porter smeared over every front page in the country with pictures.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's get going.
I don't work for you anymore, remember?
Oh, Jeff, I wasn't serious. You know I wasn't serious. Of course you're going to have your job back, my boy.
I don't want it back.
You don't?
No, J.J., I've outgrown the job. If a man doesn't recognize his own true worth, nobody else will. So I've decided that the Globe News Syndicate should hire me as editor-in-chief.
No.
With, of course, a substantial raise in salary and...
No. Why, you'd have the whole organization in jail.
And, of course, we needn't discuss your offer any further unless you guarantee me an unlimited expense account.
No. By thunder, I'll see you in Hades first.
Okay, J.J., but if you should change your mind, I'll be at my hotel until 5 o'clock. Not a minute later.
I won't do it. No!
See you around, J.J. Around five, that is. Well, J.J., come in.
All right, Jeff, all right. You're hired, but here's one condition.
Well, come on in, J.J., come in. Now, the condition?
You've got to prove to me that you can pull this thing off. Now, tell me, what have you planned?
Tell you, I'll show you. Oh, Sally Lou.
Sally who?
Yes, Jeff, honey.
Sally Lou, I want you to meet your new employer, J.J. Blair.
My new... Now, wait a minute, Jeff.
Unlimited expense account, J.J., remember?
Well, but...
Hi, J.J., honey. Why, Jeff, I think he's real cute.
You do?
Of course I do, J.J. Why, declare to my soul, you look just like a little old Georgia boy used to tote my books to school. And, could he tote a book?
Save it, Sally Lou. Now, J.J., here's the way it works, you see. J.J. J.J., I'm talking to you.
No. Oh, yeah, so you are.
Now, I figured you'd be along, so I went ahead and got started. This afternoon, Sally Lou and I got a license to be married.
We
also saw a minister and engaged him to marry us just 6 weeks from today. I told Sally Lou you'd pay her $1,000 for it.
You're going to marry her and you want to be paid.
Oh, I wouldn't really marry Jeff J.J., honey. Oh, no. Well, if I was to marry a Yankee named Sherman, my daddy'd come up here and burn down Radio City.
But I don't understand.
Look, J.J., I'm trying to tell you.
Then please tell me.
I can just imagine my daddy's face if I told him I'd become Miss Sherman. Why, he'd tap the ground from here to Yonkers.
Sally Lou, please. Okay, J.J., it so happens that Judge Cornelia Porter is leaving tomorrow for a 6 weeks vacation on Cape Cod.
You mean you're letting her get away?
Oh, no. I also am going to Cape Cod.
Huh?
I'm leaving tonight. And Justice Porter is going to find that she and I have all the same interests in common. Her Honor and I are going to become, well, just a little bit more than friends. Then at just the right time, Sally Lou turns up and, bingo, Sally drags the judge into court as a love thief. She gets another $1,000 for that suit, J.J.
Another $1,000?
Yes, and of course a weekly salary.
Now, don't you worry about money, J.J., honey. Now that I've met you, it'll be a pleasure to work for you for nothing.
Jeff, my boy, I think you may have something, except for one thing.
Yes?
I don't think your interest and Judge Porter's interest would be the same. I don't think she'd go in for those sort of things.
I made a very careful study of the subject, J.J.
Well?
She's sort of halfway engaged to a stuffed shirt lawyer named Robert Walton. I don't worry about him. As for Cornelia, she dabbles in art. She thinks she'd like to take up sculpture as a hobby. So, I'll be a sculptor.
Jeff, I still don't think she'll give you a tumble. She's ice. Pure ice.
You mean like when she was a baby, instead of an incubator, they put her in the deep freeze?
Listen, J.J., there's an old folk saying, it goes like this. There lives no goose, but sooner or late we'll find the gander that's her mate. J.J., I'm off to Cape Cod to hunt goose.
In just a moment, you'll hear more of the MGM comedy Designed for Scandal, starring Ralph Bellamy with Arlene Francis. Two of the MGM Theater of the Air presentation, Designed for Scandal, starring Ralph Bellamy with Arlene Francis. And so Jeff Sherman is at Barnstable on Cape Cod, and he is a man with a mission. Jeff hopes to tarnish just a little bit the immaculate reputation of the Honorable Cornelia Porter, Justice of the Superior Court. The Cape Cod season is at its height, however, and Jeff is finding it difficult to rent a studio where he can pretend to be an artist with the chisel.
Hello, yes? No?
Yes. Are you Mr. Rowell, a sculptor?
The great sculptor. You came to see my statues, no? Yes? If so, come in, yes?
Yes, yeah. Well, that's a fine studio I have here.
You did not come here to see my statues, yes? No.
No, I mean, yes. That is, I'm looking for a studio with statues in it.
Yes?
Yes, indeed.
No.
You mean no?
Yes, I mean no. You have come here to offer to rent my studio, yes?
Yes, I have. Fact is, I've got to rent a studio, and I think I've tried them all but this one.
And you will invite all your friends here, and you will say, I know nothing of the art. Of course, I dabble a bit. I like to have the beautiful art around me, so I took the great Rowell studio for the season. Yes? No?
Sure, Mr. Rowell. You're getting the idea. You're not as dumb as I thought.
Yes. And, of course, you will offer me the much money as rent for the studio. No?
Absolutely. Money's no object. Now, just say how much.
Get out, peasant.
Now, wait a minute. I don't get it. I thought
oh,
that...
Oh, if someone would only come to see my statues, yes? But no, no, no. Money they offer me. Money. And me with alimony from three wives.
Don't like money, huh? Look, Mr. Rowell, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you.
Yes. No?
Yes. We know all about your work, but we decided that for this particular job, we had to have a sculptor who's not interested in money.
And who is we, no?
You mean to tell me you don't know that world-famous patron of the arts, J.J. Blair?
Blair, Blair. Once I married a silly American woman named Blair, but they did not love their art. They owned the big ranch. They were in love with a bull.
Listen, how would you like your work to be seen by a million people a day?
Ah, yes, that would be heaven, no? But how could this be?
Very simple. We want you to do a stone mural across the entire front of the Blair Building. We want you to do a mural depicting the pageant of America. Yes?
Yes, yes. With the Indian, yes. With the papoose, yes.
They could put papooses all over the place. The only thing is, we want you to start right away.
But, of course, I will start tomorrow.
I'm sorry, but J.J. Blair is an impatient man. That isn't soon enough.
Well, I will start right now. Yeah, allow me to pack the shirt, the toothbrush, my bag. A million people a day. Oh, but observe, monsieur. What if people also could see it at night, yes?
Okay, okay. So at night, we'll light it up with neon. All packed?
Monsieur, I go.
Before you leave, maybe you can tell me something about some of the summer people. Do you know Judge Cornelia Porter?
Ah, but everybody knows the lady judge. She drives by here every evening in the blue, the... What kind of car you call it which you get into and you are still on the outside, yes?
Convertible.
The blue convertible, yes.
Blue convertible. Well, well. You know, I used to have a disreputable friend named Benny the Fake. And Benny used to make his living by falling in front of automobiles. But tell me, does Judge Porter know you and your work?
Monsieur, this lady judge, I do not understand.
No? Why not?
Women love me. They adore me. Yes, I must beat them off with sticks. But this lady judge, does she give me the one look, yes? No.
Good. I mean...
I think the lady judge is what you in America call the chilly lily. but a great intellectual.
Now, I got a theory about women, Mr. Rowell.
Monsieur, you have a theory. I have women.
But my theory, now, when a girl is dumb, I always tell her she's brainy. I have a theory that with a girl like this Judge Porter, brainy, I mean, you get much further if you pretended she was beautiful but dumb.
Perhaps, monsieur. But I go.
Before you go, perhaps you'd better explain one of these modernistic things to me.
Thing?
Yes? Sorry, I meant statues. What about this one? This stone lady with the three legs and the soft-boiled wristwatches on her.
On her, yes, yes. This, monsieur, is one of the great examples of the sculpture moderne. The what you call modernistic.
Oh, one of the greatest. Any fool can see that. Only, what does it mean?
Well, this figure represents the glass-bottom boat, woman, through whose beauty we see strange worlds in the depth, entrancing yet distorted. These things are always seen distantly, full of ominous shadows. So, naturally, I call this statue Midnight on a Boat. But I go.
Wait till J.J. sees a three-legged papoose.
So
So long, Mr. Rowell.
And you.
When you see J.J., tell him I'll either get somewhere or I'll die under a blue convertible train.
Well, here she comes. Blue convertible. I just hope I can do it like Benny the Fake showed me. Hey, watch out! Watch out! Hey!
You're not dead. Speak to me. Please say you're not dead.
Oh.
Speak to me. Please speak to me.
Hello. Oh.
Oh, but I didn't see you, really. I didn't. You stepped in front of my car and... Oh, I hope you're not hurt too badly. Oh, think of the blistering lectures I've given people in court about reckless driving and I've run down an innocent... Oh, please, can you hear me?
Oh, what happened?
Oh, it was my fault. Really, it was. My mind was miles away on a legal matter. I didn't see you until you were in front of the car.
Oh,
and I...
where am I?
Oh, you're right here in my arms.
Oh.
I mean... Oh, you poor man. Oh. This leg, is it broken?
Oh, I don't mind the leg being broken, but...
Oh, dear.
My hands. I make my living with my hands.
Oh, my. Well, let me see. Oh, well, now, this one seems all...
I'm a sculptor.
Oh, yes, this one's all right, too. Oh, good. Well, now, wait. I'll get a doctor.
No. I mean, I feel much better now.
Oh, but you've got to have a doctor.
I'm better now.
You are?
That's my studio there, if you'll just... Help me inside.
Yes, of course I will.
Help me up.
Oh, my. Oh, there you are. Oh. But what if you can't walk? But there.
I can. Yeah, if you'll let me lean on you, I can walk.
Oh, yes,
Miss,
you know me.
Miss.
Oh, I'm Cornelia Porter.
Oh, you're very kind to help me, Miss Porter. I'm just through this door.
Yes. Oh, it was my fault. I'm amazed that you weren't killed. I mean, well, nothing I could do for you is enough.
Oh, Miss Porter, please, this couch here.
Yes, right. Easy.
Some of the brandy on the table there, please.
Brandy, yes, of course, I'll get it right away. Here. Mr.
Sherman, Jeff Sherman.
Sherman.
But my dear Miss Porter, it's you who should drink the brandy. You're shaking like a leaf. Here, I'll get a glass for myself.
How about you? You can walk.
With great pain. Now, Miss Porter.
Oh, but I've never drunk brandy. I've never drunk anything.
Oh, but this is an emergency. Well, look at the way you tremble. Oh, you poor, frightened child.
Child?
Down you go, Miss Porter.
Well, no.
I'm sorry we have to use these large water glasses to serve in, but... Well, how was it?
Well, it feels very warm going down. It tickles.
Yeah, now, you just sit there until you calm yourself.
No. Oh, it tickles very pleasantly. I'm so sorry.
Well, then... By all means, have another.
No. Oh, no, I couldn't. I never have, you know.
Of course, you told me. In that case, we'll just have half a glass.
I suppose I shouldn't, really. But I do feel better. I mean, my knees aren't as weak.
An excellent stimulant, Brandy, when used properly, of course.
Yes, I've often read about it. My goodness, I didn't mean to do that. You do very interesting modernistic work, Mr. Sherman.
Thank you. The true artist always appreciates praise for his work, even from the uninformed.
Uninformed?
I meant no offense, of course.
Really, I know quite a bit about sculpture. I can see some interesting symbolism in that figure over there.
Which figure is that, Miss Porter?
The figure with the three legs and the, well, the somewhat limp watches on the... Oh, dear.
Ah, yes. Interesting symbolism. That figure represents the glass bottom boat.
Ah.
Woman, through whose beauty we see strange worlds in the depths, and prancing yet distorted. These things are always seen distantly, full of ominous shadows.
Uh-huh.
So naturally, I call that statue Yes. I call it, I call it Sundown on a Staten Island Ferry.
I wish I knew more about modernistic art. Of course, I've read quite a bit, but... Well, now, Mr. Sherman, maybe you give me your definition of modern art.
My definition?
Yes. Obviously, you know all about it.
Obviously. Mm. I'll try to explain it so you can understand. In other words, I'll simplify it.
Oh, really? You don't have to do that. I assure you, I can understand. Oh, dear.
Definition of modern art. Now, suppose you want to do a modernistic statue or a picture.
Yes?
Well, in simple words, when you begin it, uh-huh, you don't know what it's going to be. Huh. And when you finish it, you don't know what it is. You find that funny?
Mr. Sherman, please. You must think I haven't a brain in my head.
I assure you, I don't mind.
You don't mind? Well.
Again, no offense. But let me explain what I mean.
Perhaps you'd better.
Well, it's this way. When one is himself an intellectual, when one lives constantly in the realm of the intellectual, one finds it a great pleasure occasionally to be in the company of a person who is merely lovely.
Mr. Sherman, are you trying to say that I am beautiful but dumb?
My dear Miss Porter, a girl as beautiful as you doesn't have to be brilliant.
Oh, you mean you believe it? You believe I'm beautiful but dumb?
Please, let's not put it so crudely. In simple words, Miss Porter, you're a glamour puss.
Mr. Sherman, wait till I tell Robert.
Robert?
It's Robert Walton. He's at the hotel, too. Uncle Ferdy detests him, but, well, I'm sort of engaged to him.
You mean you're engaged to Robert and you don't call him Bob?
Oh, nobody ever calls Robert Bob. Oh, my, he just isn't the Bob type. Good heavens.
Something wrong?
I was supposed to meet Robert for dinner an hour ago. He'll think I'm drowned.
I certainly wouldn't blame Robert if he were worried about you, Miss Porter.
Oh, Robert would never be worried. Well, I mean, really worried.
You underestimate yourself, Miss Porter. I'm sure if I were engaged to a glamour puss like you, I'd be worried if you're out of my sight for an instant.
You know, I believe you really would. Oh!
You just wait. When you get back to that hotel, you'll find that Robert's worried stiff.
Robert, I'm terribly sorry I'm so late for dinner.
Hmm? Oh, Cordelia. Dear me, are you late?
Well, only an hour late. But of course you wouldn't notice.
To tell you the truth, my dear, I was reading this new paper by Griswold on torts. I think you'll find it very interesting from the judicial viewpoint. Mm. Well, shall we go into dinner? I hear they're having boiled cod.
Well, I'm not very hungry, Robert.
Not hungry for boiled cod with egg sauce? Cornelia, are you all right?
Well, of course I am.
There, I knew it. I'll get you a soda tap.
Oh, no. Robert, look at me.
What?
Do you think I'm a glamour puss?
Oh, why, Cornelia, you're... Yes, cheeks flushed, eyes unnaturally bright. You're delirious.
Oh, no, I am not delirious. I'm perfectly all right. Do you understand?
Of course, my dear, if you insist.
I'm simply not hungry tonight, that's all.
But, my dear, where are you going?
Oh, I think I'll walk on the beach in the moonlight. Somehow I feel rather restless.
Hello, JJ. This is Jeff.
Well, let me tell you something, Jeff Sherman. That stonemason you sent down here is driving me out of my mind.
Jay, please. Mr. Rowell is a great artist.
You say he's a great artist, and he says he's a great artist. But I say anybody who gives people three legs is nuts. And you know what else?
No, what else?
He's got a scaffold just outside my window, and he's got an Indian squaw posed on my desk.
I know it's inconvenient, JJ, but...
Now, wait a minute. I didn't finish. The Indian squaw's got a papoose. And when she wants to go off somewhere, I'm a papoose sitter.
All right, JJ. I know it's tough, but you want to go on for the rest of your life paying 54 G's a month?
No, I don't. But confound it. What are you going to finish the this thing up?
Look, I've only been here 2 weeks.
All right, but are you getting anywhere?
You're darn right I'm getting somewhere. We're now Jeff and Connie. We've been swimming, we've been hiking, we've been bicycle riding, we've been...
I want to know if you're getting anywhere. You can do all that stuff at the YMCA.
JJ, just leave it to me. In another week or two, we'll be together on the beach in the moonlight.
Jeff, things like this just don't happen to me. Well, I mean, I've only known you 5 weeks.
3 days.
Do you know when I first knew?
When, Connie?
On that first day, when I ran over you and took you into your studio. I said, this man isn't like any other man I've ever known. He's simple and honest. Darling, what is it?
What you said, lump in my throat.
That's another thing I like about you, Jeff. Underneath, you're so tender.
What's funny?
Oh, I am, Jeff, I am. I mean, my friends have always said to me, Cornelia, you're not a woman, you're a law book. Oh, if they only knew how I feel when I see you.
How, Connie?
Oh, all trembly in the knees and visions of bungalows and roses. And my friends are going to find it hard to believe.
I know. I have a close friend who's going to be a little shocked, too.
Oh, is he the one you have to see, that patron of the arts?
I've put off seeing him for days, for a couple of weeks, really, but I suppose I can't put it off any longer. We're business partners, sort of.
But you won't be gone long, please.
Oh, no. As soon as I tell him I've decided to withdraw from a certain business deal, I'll be out of there like a shot.
Barge into your studio like this, but
I have... Ah, the lady judge, yes? Yes. Well?
I'm looking for Mr. Sherman.
But he is not here, yes? No, he went to New York.
Oh, why are you packing up Mr. Sherman's models?
Mr. Sherman's models? My models, dear lady. I need them for my great mural, 1,000,000 people a day.
Oh, but Mr. Sherman told me, Mr. Sherman being a sculptor, too, and this is his studio...
Sherman, a sculptor? Dear lady, but no, Mr. Sherman and Mr. Blair, they are the great patrons of the art.
Blair? Blair?
But of course, J.J. Blair.
Oh, I see. And Mr. Sherman's gone to New York because he works for J.J. Blair?
If you ask me, dear lady, Mr. Sherman will get there none too soon. In fact, I think he is already late.
What do you mean?
Mr. J.J. Blair and Mr. Sherman's bride-to-be... Ooh la la.
Mr. Sherman's what?
But yes, only if Mr. Sherman doesn't hurry, he will find his bride-to-be has already been, yes?
I can't believe it.
My dear lady, I have this scaffold just outside Mr. Blair's window. With such billing and cooing going on inside, already I have disfigured 3 papooses.
I don't understand. What is Mr. Sherman doing here?
Dear ladies, that even I do not understand. Something about Mr. Sherman making a girl here fall in love with him so his bride-to-be can sue this girl as a love thief, yes? Even to me it sounds crazy.
Excuse me, but do you mind if I call New York on your phone?
Perhaps I have said too much. If you are calling Mr. Sherman...
No, I want to call Chief Justice Ferdinand Graham. It's about a little matter of attempted corruption of the court and conspiracy to obstruct justice.
In just a moment, we'll return to MGM's comedy romance, Designed for Scandal. Three of the MGM presentation, Designed for Scandal, starring Ralph Bellamy with Arlene Francis. are once again in New York, in the office of J.J. Blair, president of the Globe News Syndicate. Sally Lou is there, so is Jeff Sherman, and J.J. Blair is proving once again that he is a man of even temper, always mad.
And if you think you're going to pull out of this thing now, Jeff Sherman, you've got another thing coming.
Oh, J.J., please.
J.J., honey, you're wasting your breath. You can see he's just gaga about that female law book.
That suits me fine. Fine! Now, when you take her into court, Sally Lou, we can really prove that she stole Jeff's love.
Stealing Jeff's little bitty old love would just be petty larceny.
I'm sorry, J.J., but Connie's... Well, she's not the kind of girl we thought she was, and I refuse to let you smear her with scandal.
Smear her? I'm going to dunk her in it like a pickled herring.
I'm sorry, Mr. Blair, but...
Miss Stevens, I told you we were not to be disturbed.
But there's a policeman here, and...
Buy a couple of his tickets and tell him to get out of here.
He doesn't want to sell any tickets. He wants to give them to you and Mr. Sherman.
Tickets for what?
Well, they're not tickets, really. I mean...
Then by thunder, what are they?
Well, it's something to do with conspiracy. The officer says they're warrants sworn out by Judge Porter and signed by Judge Graham.
Have you finished your case, Judge Porter?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may step down.
I ask the indulgence of the court for a statement for the record.
Well, if it's pertinent and relevant, I'll admit it. After all, this hearing's somewhat informal. Proceed.
I feel that the evidence and testimony prove beyond question that this man, Sherman, and his co-conspirator, Blair, knowingly plotted the contemptible action of attempting to besmirch and slander an officer of the Superior Court solely for the purpose of wrongfully influencing the judgment of that court.
Is that all?
No, Your Honor. She wants to say more, much more. Don't you, Cornelius?
Now, Robert, Counselor Walton, let the witness speak for herself. Yes?
Yes. I do want to say more. In all my experience as attorney and judge on the bench, I have never encountered a citizen with such contempt for the respect due the court and the ordinary rights of other people as this low, lying, deceitful...
Now, the witness is well-versed in law and jurisprudence. I taught her myself, and she knows better than to personalize and characterize testimony to such an extent.
If the court please, there are most unusual circumstances here. And if the court please,
Counselor Walton, the court will be pleased if you will sit down. Now, Judge Porter.
Your Honor, I wish to apologize to the court, but not to the person referred to. In conclusion... I now ask that the court impose the very severest penalty possible on this man, Sherman.
And the court assumes you also include his co-conspirator, Blair.
Of course she does, Your Honor. They're both in this thing right up to their necks, and we demand that...
Counselor Walton, the court is aware that, as a corporation lawyer, you have not actively appeared in a courtroom in some years. The court therefore suggests that you brush up on your trial procedure by reading the latest Perry Mason.
Well, I never...
And kindly don't read it aloud. Now, the court would like to reflect briefly on the evidence presented before hearing from the defendants. Yes. Have you some business with this court?
Sir, I'm Mr. Blair's secretary, and I have an urgent message for him.
All right, but be quiet about it. I'm trying to think.
Mr. Blair, I had to bring you this newspaper... Pass it to him, Mr. Sherman.
J.J., look at this headline. Fifi's remarried.
Yeah. Ex-Fifi Blair weds retired millionaire. Well, then, he better come out of retirement and get to work or he won't be a millionaire long.
Oh, J.J., honey, child, I'll wait for you, even if you're in jail for years.
We will now hear from the defendant, Jeffrey Sherman. Mr. Sherman, you've been sworn this way. You may be seated.
Your Honor, I have an attorney, and I'd like to represent myself, if it's all right.
Well, now, I'm fairly familiar with the statute books, and I don't recall that there's any law against it. Suppose you show the court just how you'd go about representing yourself, huh?
Well, sir, I don't know much about the law, of course.
You just go ahead. Maybe the court can help you over some of the rough spots.
Your Honor, if the court please, I think this is highly irregular. In fact, I submit that the court is showing a bias in favor
of... Yes, 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 I know, Counselor Walton. Smart lawyers are always after me. They think I should act like a judge instead of a human being. But I've never been reversed yet. So let's do it my way, shall we?
Really? Well...
You were about to say, Mr. Sherman.
Sir, I'd like to call a witness.
Go ahead and call him.
It's a her. I'd like to call the Honorable Cornelia Porter.
Your Honor, we object most strenuously. We object on the ground of...
You object to a man accused of a crime calling a witness? Cornelia Porter to the stand. Counselor Perry Mason would be ashamed of you. Proceed. Go ahead, Mr. Sherman, if you want to ask her a question.
Yes, sir. I'm just trying to get the words right. You are the Honorable Cornelia Porter?
Yes.
Connie, will you marry me?
Now, Your Honor, this man has gone too far. I object.
Yes, and I object to you.
That's just too bad.
Let's have a little order. State your grounds, Counselor.
On the grounds that the question is irrelevant, incompetent, and immaterial. And there's been no groundwork laid for the question.
It isn't irrelevant, and there's been plenty of groundwork laid for it.
Furthermore, Your Honor, I object on the grounds of calling for a conclusion and not testimony as to fact.
Your objection is noted, Counselor. Now let's find out whether or not it is a fact. Now then, Mr. Sherman, why do you say your question is relevant?
Your Honor, as I see it, there's no evidence of obstructing justice before this court, but only of the intention to do so. Therefore, it seems to me that if I can prove that my intentions were honorable, well, I mean, I can't say where I'm guilty.
You might have a rather fine legal point there. Go on. Let's see how you aim to develop it.
Yes, sir. Now then, Judge Porter, you previously testified that I conspired to involve you in a scandal. When did you first know that my intentions were dishonorable?
I knew it from the very first. I'm not quite the fool you thought I was.
Then why, if you thought my intentions were dishonorable, on the night of July 11th this year, in the establishment known as Clara's Cape Cod Clam Kitchen Deluxe, did you say that you loved me?
I object. I object.
Your Honor, I also object to this line of questioning on the grounds that it intends to make a farce of this court.
Well, if it does that, I can strike it out later, can't I? Go ahead, Mr. Sherman.
Will you answer the question, please?
I will not. I refuse to answer it.
Were you ever at any time in love with me? I mean, with the defendant, Sherman. You're under oath, remember?
In a sense, I suppose so. To a degree.
Did you say to the defendant on the night of July 15th this year, on a moonlit beach, that you had loved him from the minute you first set eyes on him because he was simple and honest?
Well, I might have.
Does it refresh your memory if I ask you if it's not true that you said to the defendant one night, standing in the summer rain with a sea wind in your hair, that you'd never before known what it was to feel really happy inside and know that it would never end? And isn't it a fact that...
Your Honor, this is absolutely outrageous. I object. I demand a change of venue. I demand some...
Counselor, do you mean to say that you don't want to hear the answer? He's got me sitting on the edge of the bench.
And isn't it true that the defendant, Sherman, kissed you and caressed your hair and swore to you that he would never let it come to an end? And isn't it true that... Connie, isn't it true that you do love me and you know I love you?
Stop it! Stop it! Your Honor, I won't go on with this testimony.
But if the plaintiff withdraws from the case, there isn't any case.
I don't care, Uncle Ferdinand. I refuse
now,
to
Now, Connie,
do it.
Please, you know you love me.
Sir,
and you know...
you will immediately take your hands off Justice Porter.
I hate you, and I wish you were dead. Oh, I've got to get out of here.
Now, Robert, I don't like people to clutch me by the collar. Really, I don't.
Court's adjourned. Court is adjourned.
And now, sir, now the court's adjourned and I am no longer bound by its rules.
Will you let go my collar?
There are some things I'd like to discuss with you as man to man.
Yeah, and I'd like to have a chat with you too, Robert, but right now I haven't got time, so... There. Which way'd she go? Somebody, anybody, which way'd she go?
I knew she loved you. When she called me from Cape Cod, she was blubbering like a baby.
Listen, you old fool. Excuse me, Judge. Which way did she go?
Out that side door. She drives a blue convertible.
Connie, watch out! Watch out!
Crazy utter fool.
Oh.
It's just like it was the first time we met.
Not quite.
Oh, but of course it is. We're starting all over again. But this time it's for keeps. Get up, darling, and...
I can't.
You what?
Your Honor, is there anything in the law which prevents a man from getting married with a busted clavicle?
Thank you.
Our star, Ralph Bellamy, will be back in just a moment. It is our conventional procedure, Ralph, to wind up these programs with a little offstage conversation between the star and me.
I don't mind at all, Howard. Sounds like a certain way to wind up the program.
You underestimate your words. The audience is most interested to hear what one of their favorite stars has to say informally.
Whenever I talk informally, I always do it into a microphone.
We all remember you in many pictures, and particularly in two wonderful Broadway shows, State of the Union and Detective Story.
Well, speaking as an actor, I'd say I've been rather lucky to find two good plays in succession.
Yes, one good play in succession is rather rare, not to mention two. But to have good plays, you must have good actors also.
And good authors.
Well, we'll give a plug to Lindsay and Krause for the State of the Union and one to Sidney Kingsley for the current Detective Story.
That's okay with me, Howard.
Thank you, Ralph Bellamy.
Scandal was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Key to the City, starring Clark Gable, Loretta Young, Frank Morgan, and Marilyn Maxwell. Howard Smith was heard as J.J. Blair, Parker Fenley as Judge Graham, and Art Carney as Rawl. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz.